Good morning, everyone. Today we are going to look at the mission statement. First of all, though, I want to say that as a church family, I was encouraged this morning. I wasn't over in the fellowship hall for that, but I was encouraged by everyone gathering around and praying for Manny, and I'm not exactly sure what was going on over there, but that's what we do as a family, as we come to, I could see it was good, but that's what we do as a family. And you know, when I looked at a faith family, I'm like, a faith family, I don't know, I'm kind of a faith family. But as I look around here today, I see a couple people who have been family to me since I've been coming here 2010-ish, so for quite some time. Let me just peek my notes here. I wrote some people down, so I'm going to call some people out, and I'm just going to mention some things. If anyone knew, Cliff was actually my groomsman in my wedding with Julie. Julie was the bride, yes, yes. Thank you for clarifying, yes. I had you on my list here of people. I should have mentioned you first. I apologize. So a couple other people, and I may not have known quite as long, and if I don't mention your name, please forgive me. I'm sure there's a lot of history here with a lot of people. But Matt, one of the newer people to the congregation, just the other day, let me borrow his trailer so I could get some work done. Manny has been helping me with work lately. He's been helping me for a while now. Eldon built a client wanted me to build a little free library. I'm like, build a little free library? I could probably do that, but I'm fairly busy. And I was like, Eldon, I know, built the one out in the parking lot. So Eldon helped me with that, and we were able to get her a nice sturdy one. Hers blew to pieces the last windstorm she had over in Dover. Gerald, he might not know this, but he was actually one of the people that I look forward to seeing at our Christmas family reunions, because he was kind of my age, and we usually had pretty good conversations. So I was like, man, is Gerald here yet? Where is he? So I was always looking for Gerald. Going back to my childhood, Florence Shank, I knew her as Mrs. Shank. I never knew her name was Florence until I started coming to the chapel. I'm like, who's Florence? Oh, Mrs. Shank? But she, I knew her. She lived about five doors down from my mom's house. And I always saw her out in her yard weeding, putting in flowers and everything else. So when I started coming here, I saw her. I was like, hey, Mrs. Shank. So life kind of comes full circle sometimes. Sis in the back, she was one of my best friend's moms growing up, and everyone thought we were twins. And so she has some stories about me that aren't too bad. She knew me as a small child. Oh, she's back there hiding her face. Oh, brother. And Craig and Sandy, they know me from my wild days. So if you want any of those stories, be nice, Craig. Yeah, be nice. But there's just a lot of people here who have influenced my life in a lot of different ways. And of course, Madison and Luke, they are still, I'm glad to see them here. And those of you who don't know, Madison is my daughter. Luke is married to my daughter, Madison. So that being said, we're a faith family, and on the back of the bulletin is the mission statement. If you want to take a look at that, I'll be talking about the first two lines in the mission statement. I'll read it. I was going to have us read it together, but I'll read it. As a faith family, we follow Jesus, bearing with and building each other up in love. So that's what we'll be looking at today. And I know in the bulletin, It's called, I titled it Life. I think they asked me before I even knew. I'm not a planner. If you're looking for a polished sermon, this is probably not going to be it. So my new title, The Architecture of the Heart, and Building a Family, Not a Religious Activity. The scripture will be Ephesians 4, 1 through 11 and 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 through 21. The first topic we're going to talk about is the identity, the as-is condition. There it is. So there's one of these things is not like the other. One of these things is not quite the same, right? Does anyone know that song? Thank you. So we have the mission statement, and we are a family who bears with and builds up one another. So in my job, I spend a lot of time looking at people's houses and buildings. There's a few other people in here that do the same. Apartments, old brick buildings, and you start to see things a little differently when you go into houses. You don't just see a building, you see either what it used to be or what it could be, and people's visions for that. And our mission statement says we're a faith family. So in my mind, the family is the people who live inside a house, right? So we come to the church house. But faith is the foundation that supports the roof over our heads. We can talk about the church reviving, and in a construction project, that would be restoration. We're doing a restoration. And anyone who's ever stripped back old wallpaper or pulled back walls or floors on an old house knows that, that it can be messy, it can be expensive, and it can be a lot slower than building something new. The Grubers probably know about that. But in the end, the building that is restored has a personality and a character of its own. It's something that a new build just can't match. So right now, we are a family in the middle of renovation, I will say. We have new leadership, myself included, and we have lots of new ideas, lots of new activities. We also, on the other end, have a long history, long proud history of people and leaders who have preceded us at the chapel. And in the middle of that is us, you, me, and we are the congregation. We navigate a hectic, chaotic life, and sometimes church feels like just one more person asking you for something that you don't have left to give at the end of the week. And I know busy. Manny kind of laughs at me and is like, man, you're just going crazy. Like he knows that, like, I have a family at home. I'm working. This week with this message on top, I expected the enemy to come and give me more than I can handle. But God is with me in that, and with us when those times come. So, but here we are. And we might be in a different season. Maybe we're not busy. Maybe we're retired and we have time on our hands and we're not sure what to do with our spare time. And today is not about the church agenda. It's about the architecture of our hearts and where our hearts are. Are we building a religious monument, or are we building a living, breathing, welcoming family home that people can find refuge and safety? when they come here. In a family, we have different seasons. We have times of comfort and tradition. We have times of growth and change. And right now, in the church, we're probably feeling a little bit of both. Some of us want to hold on to what's familiar, and some are pushing for new activities or more spontaneity. Neither is bad in itself. It's not, I find myself saying a lot lately, it's not wrong, it's just different. Right? Because sometimes we're not used to things. But as we look at the scripture, we'll find a third option. It's not about how much we do or how much we stay the same. It's about who we are becoming. Who are we becoming like? Of course, the answer to that is Jesus. So we want to follow Jesus. The end, I'm going to call this section, the end of the performance. Let's read Ephesians 4. Gerald, would you object if I read 1 to 16? Recommended 1 to 11, but the rest of it kind of fits right in. All right, so I apologize. I don't have it on the screen. I put these together and sent them out at 2:30 last night. So I will read. If you want to follow along in your Bible, you may. So Ephesians 4, 1 through 16. I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. And that would be the spiritual gifts. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower regions of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he gave apostles, prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Who's the saints? All of us, right? And then I lost my spot. 12, to equip the saints, thank you, for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined together and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So in Ephesians 4:1, he says, walk in a manner worthy of the calling. Paul uses the word walk, right? He doesn't use the word sprint or run. A walk is sustainable, right? How far can I run? a mile if I'm lucky. But I can walk. I could probably walk 20 miles if I had the time, right? So it's sustainable. It's not a sprint to the next church event, and it's not sitting still in a pew. Most of us spend our lives performing, even if we don't realize it. We go to work, and we perform for our bosses so that we can get a paycheck, and we pretend that we like our job, and we might secretly not. We perform for our neighbors, right? We keep our yards all prim and proper and plant flowers and do all these fancy things to make it look like everything's good. And sometimes then we come to church and we feel like we need to perform for other Christians or even perform for God, right? We say everything's fine, everything's good. You know, and then we see a full calendar of new events and other expectations, and we think, I know I think, well, if I don't go, am I failing as a Christian? Am I a bad Christian for not going to one of these events? So following Jesus, it's not about a performance. It's not about, I mean, and we know this, but sometimes we still do it. Sometimes I still do it. And it's not trying to meet expectations of what we should and shouldn't do. Let me read 1 Thessalonians 12 through 22. Final instructions and benedictions. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you, who are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves, and we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone for evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing, giving thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. So in 1 Thessalonians 5:21, Paul says to test everything and hold fast to what is good. Right? So I often hear Tom, he says, you know, God really moved at the prayer meeting. We should hold fast to that. Right? If we go to the men's group and someone really says, man, I'm moved. I feel like God's moving in the men's group. Hey, that's great. Hold on to it. If any activity connects you to the heart of God, hold fast to it. But if we are just checking the boxes to feel religious or just to meet expectations, we've missed the walk of knowing Jesus' heart. We're just running on a treadmill. You can run 26 miles on a treadmill, but at the end of the day, you're still in the same spot. So sometimes we can be going through the motions, but we're not getting the full benefit. Walking worthy happens in our chaotic weekday afternoons just as much as Sunday mornings. We don't need religious obligations. We need a deeper connection to the lead architect, and that's Jesus. We'll talk about bearing with and making room for the mess. There we go. That's the closest thing to a mess I could find for free. So in Ephesians 4:2, it says, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. Bearing with is a structural term. In a house, we have load-bearing walls, and everyone knows what happens when a load-bearing wall is removed, right? The whole thing comes down. Falls down because that's what all the weight's on. In the church, we have different groups moving at different speeds. We have some who are faint-hearted. They're tired, burn out, and just maybe overwhelmed by life. You know, life's hard. We have others who are idle or perhaps just waiting for someone to give them a tool or someone to encourage them into action. You know, I heard someone say the other day, we may have gifts in the church that we don't even know about because we're not exercising them. And we have a new group with a lot of fire to see God's Holy Spirit move by trying new things and new activities. Again, not wrong, just different. True heart change happens when the new group, and please don't hear me slamming anyone on this. True change happens when the new group stops judging the old group for being tired. And the old group stops judging the new group for being hungry for change. I'm trying to address the elephant in the room because I think we all know it, but we don't talk about it in public. So we need what's called the grace gap. And the grace gap is, this is the space between what we expect from a brother or sister and what they actually give us. And again, this is the space, the grace gap is the space between what you expect from someone and what they actually give us. We should bridge that gap with love, not resentment or passive-aggressive behavior. If we let go or distance ourselves from a brother or sister because they don't agree with us or they don't agree with a new agenda or an old tradition, the structure of the whole roof of our faith family is going to come crashing down. We are the support beams. You, me, all of us are the support beams for one another. And when support beams aren't tied together properly, they fail and fall down. So the next section is building up. And I'm going to steal this from the men's study, the 33 challenge. I was asked the other night where I see God moving, and my main, and from my perspective, is in the men's group, is where I see the most heart change and where God is. I see God moving. As we study 33 of the series, it's not because the series is a perfect program, right? It's not. When we first started doing it, there were some people who said there's not enough scripture in it. This isn't really a Bible study. And it was true that, it's based on the Bible. It's based on the life of Jesus, but it's not studying scripture, per se. But there's practical application in it of how to apply it to our lives. So, and it's not because the program is perfect. It's because as men, we are dropping our masks and seeing that we have problems in our lives that need addressed. We're addressing issues in our lives instead of acting like they don't exist. To stir our hearts today, we all would do well to adopt, to acknowledge and adopt the four pillars of authentic manhood. Number one is reject passivity. We should stop waiting for a revival to happen to us. I have written, to happen to you and around you. Stop waiting for the pastor to fix your life or give some message that really stirs you. We are, and you are, the church. If we want to see love in this church family, we all need to start giving it. Number two, accept responsibility. Look to the person next to you. Let's say you're right. Look to the person to your right. Right? And you'll look to the left too. But you are responsible for the heart of that person. When we see a brother or sister struggling, we don't give them requirements. Like, well, what you ought to do is, you know, let's not give a laundry list of things. Like, we need to give them our hand and help them. We need to, number three, we need to lead courageously. It takes courage to change. You know, I don't like change. It's hard work. It takes courage to admit you're tired. It takes courage to support a new vision when it feels uncomfortable, when it's something we're not used to. Number four, invest eternally. Your life is the only Bible that some people are going to read. So are we building a checklist for people? Or are we building the person up? First Thessalonians 5:19 says, do not quench the spirit. And I was like, what exactly does quench mean? So quenching a fire involves removing one or more elements of the fire tetrahedron. Did I say that right, Julie? Tetrahedron. All right. So that's, there's four elements: fuel, heat, oxygen, and the chemical reaction, chemical chain reaction. And they're, in some ways, these four things can also be seen in like human behavior or in the church. We can have cooling. Water absorbs heat, lowering the fuel's temperature below its ignition point. Smothering. Foam or CO2 blankets the fire, cutting off the oxygen supply. Starving. Removing the fuel source prevents the fire from spreading. Interruption. Dry chemicals break the molecular chain reaction required for combustion. So scripture says, do not quench the spirit. Right? And I've heard someone say, you know, when you're singing a song and you're praising the Lord and you want to put your hands up and you don't, you're quenching the spirit. You're not leaving room for the Spirit, Holy Spirit to work. The Spirit moves in a man when he admits he's struggling. In a circle of brothers, or in a circle of church family, that's God showing up. That is building each other up in its truest form. So to end, in conclusion, it is the moment of decision. So we've spent some time today looking at and talking about our hearts and just the architecture and some things, how the heart works. We've talked about this blueprint, which is the mission statement. As a faith family, we follow Jesus, bearing with and building each other up in love. We've talked about bearing walls. And grace is the finished work or the trim in a renovation. But the truth is, you can study a blueprint for a building for 50 years or a house, and you're still going to be sitting in the rain if all you did was look at the blueprint. A blueprint isn't a home. A mission statement isn't a church. And a schedule of church events, meetings, is just ink on a page if our hearts remain closed. In 33, the series study, we learned that a man who refuses to accept responsibility is a man who stops growing. I believe that's true for the church too. We can't keep waiting for the perfect season to start being a family. We can't keep waiting for a new pastor to do the work we're called to do. Again, do not quench the spirit. So I'm going to ask a question that I've had to ask myself. And when we think of a building, are we a brick or are we a builder? A brick just sits there. It expects the structure to hold up. It doesn't move. It doesn't change. And it eventually gathers dust. A builder is on the tools. He looks for the person sitting 3 rows over and says, I see you carrying a heavy load. Let me get under it with you. A builder looks at the hectic chaos of our own life, and says, I am choosing to follow Jesus anyway. I'm going to invite the drama into my life, and I'm going to choose to follow Jesus. The living God, I might be getting ahead of myself. The living God mentioned in our mission statement doesn't show up because we followed a perfect agenda. He shows up when a group of broken, busy, tired people decide to stop performing and start bearing the load of one another. He shows up when we stop complaining about the renovations and start realizing that we are the house. So tomorrow morning, when you wake up to your chaotic schedule, or your lack of schedule even, we have a choice. We can go back to the checklist, the religious to-do list, or the other things that we do on a daily basis that leave us empty, or we can walk worthy. We can reject passivity, accept responsibility, lead courageously, and invest eternally. You can look at this faith family here and decide that from this day forward, you aren't just a tenant in the building. You are a builder of this family and of God's kingdom. Let's stop doing church. Let's follow the lead architect, Jesus. Let's bear the load. Let's build the heart. And let's finally see what happens when the living God moves into a house that is truly ready for him. Let's send in prayer. Holy Spirit, Lord, I just ask that right now you would stir hearts in this room. We confess that we've often preferred the comfort of sitting still over challenge, of building up. Break the chains of our hectic schedules and our religious performances, Lord. Give us the courage of the men I see in the men's group, in the 33 study, to be real, to be responsible, and to be yours, Lord. We want to follow you, Jesus. We ask that you would take us where you want us to go. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.